my goal, my heart's desire that I have this evening and in the next coming weeks is I'd like to share time, something that we can take and we can put into action. Now, this doesn't, there, when you share the gospel, you've got a collection of 66 books that you could use and thousands and thousands and thousands of verses that you could use and methods that you could use to share the gospel. As long as it's truly biblical, it comes out of this book and Jesus Christ is at the center of it. Just as long as we all agree and we all know that there's only one way to salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by where you must be saved. Jesus Christ, right? He said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And, you know, I think about when I love being a part of the Gideons, and when they go and they pass out their personal workers' testaments, they have some things, tools in the back of them where you can share the plan of salvation. I don't know if you write in your Bibles, but if you do, it would be good to have something that you knew where to start in your Bible and could walk someone through a number of verses. And this one we're going to look at tonight is the Romans road. I was thinking about this. Someone was speaking in the chapel at school, and they mentioned Romans road. And some of the kids knew what Romans. And sometimes kids pretend like they don't know what you're talking about, but they really do. But some of the kids were like, I haven't heard Romans road in church. And I was like, I felt like every time I went to a youth seminar, a youth event or something, they were going over Romans road. And I was kind of surprised. And I've talked to some people and they said, I haven't heard Romans road before. And so that's what we're going to share tonight is Romans road. And I'm going to move the pulpit aside here. And I'm going to have a little conversation with Ron. And I'm going to do this for 3 weeks. And so I ask Ron tonight, and next week when you get here, I might ask you. And I might ask you to come up here, and I'll let Ron be the guinea pig tonight. And I'm going to share the gospel with Ron. I'm going to take my coat off. We're going to sit down, and we're going to have a conversation. And I'd encourage you, got your Bible? When you open it, I'm going to put the verses up. I'm going to try to sit down and have the clicker here with me, and I'm going to go through those verses. I'm going to put them up on the screen. When you start at the first one, go there in your Bible tonight. Write it and write down the next one. So you can have a map through the book of Romans. And so when you're talking to somebody and they start saying, yeah, I'd like to hear more. I'd like to hear more. I'd like to hear more. You could share your faith. You could give away your faith. And I'd encourage you. Look for opportunities to do that. We've got to be a little intentional about that. And so this, again, I'm going to say my plan this week is Romans Road. Next week is John's Journey. And week three is Christ through Colossians. Now, coming to Christ through Colossians. And I've seen these and I'm like, these are neat. So Ron, if you want to come up here, we'll slide the pulpit back a little bit. I think I've got to unplug something. Hopefully we can move it back enough.
Oh, what a beautiful day out there. Oh, went for a bike ride. What'd you do today?
Went for a walk.
Okay. All right. Me and my daughter, we went out. It was a wonderful day. But I really enjoyed it. How you been?
Good. Good.
Great. Great. Well, you know, I've been talking to you a little bit about, like, church and some stuff and how God's made a difference in my life. Would you like, is it okay if we talked about that a little bit?
Yeah, yes it is.
All right. I, you know, I've been going to church for years now. And it's amazing how God's just worked in my heart. I have a Christian family that really loves and cares for me. But you know, I know what? I've met a friend in Jesus Christ, and he's become my best friend. He's changed my life. And I'd like to share a little bit with you about, like, what I've learned from the Bible. Would that be okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. First thing that really got me thinking about Jesus and about going to church and wanting to know more about him was someone was talking to me, and they're talking about heaven. And when they begin to talk about heaven and spending eternity with God, I didn't know if that was real or if it was legitimate, but I was interested. And I started to hear some people talking, and the first thing they told me, and I don't know if I like this, they told me that I was a sinner and that I had done wrong, and if there was a God in heaven, that when I stood before him, I'd be a sinner. And they took me to a verse in the Bible in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Matt, you can see. Can you click through those for me? And so I'd like to read to you from Romans chapter 3 in verse 10. It says there, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands, and there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not one. And they explained to me, and this is just something that I really thought about, is that everyone in this world, from a person sitting in prison to somebody, you know, the sweetest lady, Mother Teresa, on the face of the earth, if we think about them, when they live their lives, they have the choice to do right or wrong before God. And every single one of us, at some point, chooses to do wrong, except for Jesus Christ. And as I began to think about that, I thought, I really have done wrong. There are things that I've done that are wrong before God. And the sin just began to bother me. I thought, I have wronged people. I've done things that would make it so that I don't deserve heaven. There it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I began to realize that it's not just me. Christians weren't just singling me out as a bad person. When I go to church, a pastor's not just preaching at me, but it's all of us who have done wrong. Everyone stands before God guilty. But, and that kind of begins to sound depressing. It almost sounds like every single one of us deserve to go to hell. And you know the truth I learned? Is that we all do deserve to go to hell. And I began to think about that. Wow, that's pretty terrible. Then someone told me that the message doesn't stop there. It says in Romans 6:23, Romans 6:23, I just turned the page once and it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It says there that we deserve death because we've sinned. It's wages. I think about wages. I don't know. I enjoy getting a paycheck at the end of every week because I did my job around the office or at school, and I enjoy that paycheck. That's what I earn. But here it says the wages, what I earn because of my sin is death. You ever think about that? Sometimes we see people on TV and we wonder, you know, did they earn that? Is that what they deserve? And sometimes you'll see somebody on TV and you'll think, man, they got caught with drugs in their car and they did all this terrible stuff. They deserve to go to prison. Then when we think about it, standing next to a holy God, I deserve hell. I don't deserve heaven. But here it says that God's gift to me is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the best gift you've ever gotten, Ron? Do you ever think about that? What do you think the best gift that you've ever gotten was?
Probably a radio.
A radio. I think mine was a bike, but when I begin to think about a gift now, I think the greatest gift that I've ever gotten is the gift that comes from God, eternal life. And you know, I begin to read about what the Bible says about heaven, spending eternity with God, forgiven of my sins. And I get to spend that in heaven. I hear about heaven and I hear about a place. Maybe you've heard a little bit about heaven, but I love the fact that when you go there, the streets are going to be gold, transparent gold, so clear, crystal clear that you can see through. I have no idea what that looks like, Ron, but I really, really want to see those streets of gold and so crystal clear that I can see through. It says God, Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on his throne there. It says that the city is huge. There'll be no night there, no tears. I so long ago to heaven. But it says here that gift is in Jesus Christ. Another verse that I like, it from the book of Romans, talks about how God gave us that gift. In Romans 5:8, actually I'll read in verse 6, it says, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As I think about, said here in verse 23, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came down from heaven to live amongst us, to live with us, and he died for us. He died for me in my place. And so he said, instead of you having to spend eternity in hell you had earned it because of your sin, he said, I'll come down, step up onto a cross, and give my life for you because I love you. So when we stand before God, and God has every right and the authority to pronounce judgment on us and say, guilty, Jesus Christ says, wait, I paid for their punishment with my life. It's amazing that God would do that. I just I just think that that's wonderful. And Ron, when I begin to think about this, I think about you now. I know that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that when I die and I stand before God, I stand assured, ready. I know that I have believed and trusted in Jesus Christ, my personal Savior, that I can spend eternity with Him. But now, Ron, I think about you. And I'm not just trying to single you out. I said here just a minute ago, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think about this all the time. I was telling guys at church, I said, I believe that most of you are going to heaven, but I don't want one of you, my best friends, to miss out on heaven. And Ron, I just think the world of you, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on heaven either. I want you to spend eternity in heaven with me and my family and my church family and with Jesus Christ for all of eternity. I really, truly believe that there's life after death. And some of us are going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ forever. And some people who have rejected Christ will spend eternity separated from Him. I'd like to ask you, Ron, would you like to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Would you like to know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven to live with Him?
Yes.
Now, this part makes me a little nervous, Ron, because I just get so excited because you just said you wanted to go to heaven to live with Christ forever. So I need someplace in the Bible that I can tell you how you can know that you're going to heaven. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. As I read this passage of Scripture, Ron, there's something that I really, really, really want you to know. God doesn't need you to run 1,000 miles, go to church every Sunday and sit down front. He doesn't need you to give $1 million to the poor. He just needs you to believe in His Son. And Jesus Christ will change your life from today forward. And it says here, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. I like to think about it this way. You know, we've got our head here, and our heart here, and our mouth here. All three of those things, they have to agree that we believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He's the only way to go to heaven. So I'd like to ask you, would you like to pray to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Would you like to confess that Jesus is Lord? I could give you these verses right here, and you could look and you could read those to yourself and claim them as your own. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to right there. Those verses right there. Romans 10, 9 and 10.
Yes.
Right there. The highlights.
Lord, I confess that you are Lord Jesus. I believe that God has raised you from the dead and that we will be saved.
That's awesome, Ron. I just, when I think about that, and I think that, that just gets me so excited. I don't know, that when I think about the fact that someday you could spend eternity in heaven with me and Jesus Christ, and I just, that blesses my heart. I wish that, I know that Jesus Christ wishes that everyone would be saved. But you know what? When I think about that, I think that Jesus Christ did all the work. He did it all. He came down to earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He hung on a cross to pay for our sins. He faced sin and death and hell. And he died in my place and in your place. And he rose from the grave. And he didn't just do that so that we could keep going around doing things that are wrong. He wants to make a change in your life, in my life. Ron, I'm not perfect. I am nowhere near perfect. I've never met a Christian who was perfect. We're all working on it. Every single one of us. But God wants to make a change. And he can begin to make a change in your life today. If you've trusted him in your personal Savior, one of the things that I'd like to do is I'd like to help you live a different kind of life, a set-apart life, a life that you'll be so glad you live. I've known Christians for a long time. I've heard them say at the end of their lives, I'm so glad I followed Christ. He's been my best friend. He's helped me along the way. I've heard some of them say, I wish I'd spent more time with Christ. I wish I'd spent more time getting to know him. You know one thing I've never heard him say, heard somebody say, is, boy, I spent too much time getting to know Jesus Christ better. I've never heard a Christian say that. I've never heard a Christian say, oh, I wish I hadn't spent all that time praying. I wish I hadn't spent all that time reading the Bible. I've never heard anybody say that. And there's one more verse in Romans I'd like us to look at today. And that's Romans chapter 12. You know, I was thinking about this. It seems like everywhere you go, you hear pastors and missionaries and Bible teachers sharing this verse. But in Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's got a plan for your life, just like he's got a plan for my life. And Ron, one of the things that I'd like to do is I'd like to help you go to church. I wouldn't mind picking you up on a Sunday morning. I've got a Bible study that I go to, and I'd like for you to be included in that. Would you mind if I even called you up and prayed with you and encouraged you?
It's like that.
Good. Won't always be easy. Because now that you belong to God, the devil knows that he's got an enemy. He's going to try to test you. And he's going to try to destroy you and get you down and get you to make wrong decisions. But Jesus Christ, I think about this verse, that Jesus Christ has asked us to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The Bible says that when we accept Christ, his Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And that we can go to him in prayer. And when times are hard, when things are difficult, we have a helper to get us through those tough times. Ron, thank you so much for talking to me. It means the world to me that you would listen. When I heard that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I got super excited. I heard someone say once that the Bible says that when someone accepts Christ as their personal Savior, the angels rejoice in heaven. And I'm rejoicing right now. This is just so exciting. Ron, not only do I count you as my friend now, but I also think that you're my brother in Christ. Thank you so much, Ron. Thank you. And guys, I hope you, tonight, as we looked at these verses, maybe you wrote down the Romans Road. And maybe that's a conversation that you could have in your living room. You noticed I didn't just read those verses. I tried to share things from my heart, some personal things. But as you look through the Romans Road, what were some of the things that were in there? Romans chapter 3, all are what? Sinners. And that there is a penalty for sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is, but then there's an answer. And then there's an answer to that, isn't it? The answer is that Jesus Christ gave us a free gift through Jesus Christ. And that there is a payment made for that. Romans 5:8 said that God loved us and sent his Son to die for us, the means by which we can be saved. And then there's that whole decision-making process. Romans 10. It's one thing to share. We're all sinners. We need Jesus Christ. But to ask the person, would you like to be saved? Would you like to, is there a perfect sinner's prayer? Think about the thief on the cross, Lord, save me. And you think about as we read the Word of God, there's no, you need to say these four things, but in order to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. But you get, go to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. And it talks about that belief in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and confessing him with your mouth. And it's laid out there. And you could show someone from Romans chapter 10. You've got to believe in your heart. You've got to know it in your head. And you have to confess it with your mouth. And then did you notice Romans chapter 12? Okay, you accepted Christ. I'm not going to leave you. It's not, you accepted Christ, you got your get out of hell free card and go back living with the world. That's not what it's all about, is it? Jesus Christ wants to change your life starting today. And so I talked to Ron. I said, can I take you to church? I've got a Bible study. I'd like to be involved in. I'd like you to be involved in. I'd like you to pray. And the Holy Spirit, he lives here. He lives inside of you. And he can make a difference. He's changed our lives, right? I hope we're excited to pass this message on. Did anybody take that and put it in their Bibles tonight? That Romans Road. Pray. Let's pray that we will, this year, get a chance to use that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you might help us to have the conversation that Ron and I just did. Lord, I know that Ron has accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior a long time ago. But we need to be passing that on in our living rooms, here at church with a child in Sunday school, to a family member, maybe a grandchild, a a brother, sister, a best friend. Lord, I pray that you give us opportunity to have this conversation, and when we do, to make use of it. Lord, I pray that you might help us to be able to have the conversation, to have the Bible in front of us, and Lord, that we might be able to lead someone through the Romans road. I thank you that someone told me I was a sinner. Lord, that you died on the cross in my place and asked me if I'd like to be saved. I pray that you'd help us to spread that message to a lost and dying world. Thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.